just like you, we're all about sports. And the things that make sports great, like beer and wings. This is Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
I'm Craig Scheman with Pete Shepherd, Chris on the other side of the glass. Holy cow, how did it be 9 after?
We didn't go to break till 2 after.
We got to have better clock management than this.
Oh, Kathleen just sent me a horrible picture.
Out of her bedroom window. I saw that. It's like winter wonderland out there.
It's a pretty picture, but it's a horrible picture.
No, you need to come to Florida ASAP. Of 10 seconds past the hour. Time now for a SportsCenter rundown, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Chris.
SportsCenter update brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now. GetBest.com.
A former University of Virginia football player is in custody after allegedly killing 3 Virginia football players, injuring 2 other students in a shooting late Sunday night. Buccaneers running back Leonard Fournette likely to be ready for the team's next game after their bye week. So going into week 12, Fournette suffered a hip pointer against the Seahawks in their win yesterday. Panthers interim head coach Steve Wilks told reporters that Baker Mayfield is in line to start this weekend's game against the Ravens. P.J. Walker is out dealing with an ankle sprain.
All right.
Lots of good texts coming in. Golden Knight, here we go. Hyperbole Pete. Bucks win 2 games. And back to Super Bowl favorites, and Brady is an MVP. I didn't say anything about, look, I picked them to get to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to be a tough out the rest of the way. And certainly Brady is not an MVP candidate. I never said anything of this sort. But that's okay. You seem afraid. But you did make a great point, Golden, on your other text about Josh Allen has more fourth quarter interceptions in the last 2 seasons out of all the league. Yes, and that's what I brought up. Mm-hmm. His fourth quarter numbers are not great overall, especially when they're behind. And Dak Prescott's numbers against good teams are not good at all either.
Fresh cut grass, real quick. Craig, I'm surprised nobody's mentioned when you unaffiliated yourself with the Lions and started rooting for other teams. The Lions are 2-0. What are the other team? By the way, I haven't unaffiliated. I just needed another team to root for when the Lions were mathematically eliminated. And then Chris drew
You were on
Raiders last week. They lost. And who was this week?
You had the Giants this week who got a win and cover against the Texans.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Lions versus Giants this weekend.
Oh, really?
On TV locally.
Yes, on TV locally. Yep.
In fact, Big Norm on the line wanting to talk about the Giants. Big Norm, welcome. How was your weekend, sir?
Big Norm.
Fantastic. The Giants won.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better than that.
They look good. They look good all year. They'd be getting a lot more attention if it weren't for the Eagles, I'll tell you that.
Beating up on a team that they should have beat up on. I mean, they did exactly what they should do, which is what good teams do. You win the games you're supposed to. That's one of them. They beat them up pretty good.
That's right. How's your promo go?
Which one?
And get through your head.
Oh, get that. Yes,
That's right. So, my Lions, your Giants. Lions are going to be shutting down Saquon. So, what's your game plan to win?
I know what I'll do. I'll have a sandwich bet with you.
Yeah.
You know what?
I don't
do it, but I like you, Big Norm. I like everybody. Sure.
No,
sure. Let's go ahead.
All right. Sandwich bet.
Sandwich bet.
Is this money line?
I know Jimmy's listening.
Yes.
He's on the road to Orlando, he said, but he's, he loves the sandwich bookie nickname I gave him. Jimmy the beef guy.
So
here's another one. Craig versus Big Norm, Detroit versus the Giants.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
All right, my man.
There we go.
All right. Well, until then, all right, we'll talk again.
Okay. All right.
Big Norm, appreciate that. He beat
phone cut out there.
He beat young Sean to the point.
This week the Jags, the Dolphins, Seahawks, and Bucks are all off. So the 1 o'clock game on CBS is Jets at the Patriots and the Detroit Lions at the Giants. And the 4:25 game locally is the Minnesota Vikings hosting the Dallas Cowboys, which should. They're one-point dog right now. That should be a classic.
We've said this about the Giants, but it's got to be refreshing for that team who's gone from what they went. They did McAdoo. Then they went to Judge to just see a well-coached team on the field that doesn't beat themselves. They know what they are. They're not trying to be something that they're not. They don't want Daniel Jones to throw the ball 35 times a game. That's not a winning formula.
He threw 17 times yesterday. 13 out of 17.
They know who they are. Joe Judge, he's a good coach. He's a good offensive mind that understands how to get his best players the football. Now they got a Kenny Golladay.
You mean Brian Daboll.
Brian Daboll, I'm sorry.
Whoa. Joe Judge's.
They've got a Kenny Golladay situation. He got benched in the second quarter yesterday.
And Daboll, did you see Daboll lost it on the defensive side for defensive play? He had a conniption at one point, and nobody could figure out really what it was all about. But there was a series where he absolutely lost it on the sideline with his team.
Oh.
But it was good to see. He's a good coach. And I know people say, they only won by 8. But you know what? They were in control of that game from the get-go.
I got a second text now, this one from Youper, saying that Peyton Manning, Jeff Daniels lifted the curse of Bobby Lane. Lions are 2-0.
There you go.
Why am I not seeing this anywhere?
I don't know.
When was Jeff Daniels? Was that on?
I'm not a real fan.
It was on Peyton Place. On his.
That's on ESPN Plus.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's why.
Huh.
Sarcastic 239 says, tell him, Pete, possible Buccaneer t-shirts. Buck me, buck you, buck them all, and buck it. Patent pending.
Be careful.
No, it's...
All right, let's hear some more sound. I see Wig is listening, and everybody thinks the Dolphins are going, talking Super Bowl. They beat the Browns, people.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do
that.
No,
they didn't.
They didn't beat the Browns. No, they didn't beat the Browns. They took the Browns behind a woodshed, and only one of them walked back around. It was a dismantle. You know how many times the Dolphins punted yesterday?
You
know how many?
Why are you doing this?
Because the next sound is of Tua.
You're unbelievable. He's out of it. Pete, he does this thing. He pokes and he pokes and he pokes and he sits there with that little poop eating grin that he's got on his face right now. And then when we team up on him, he goes, why always me? It's Jordan rules. What are we doing with 2-on-1? This is why. This is why.
I think that's spot on.
Here's
time for the Stoner Report. Let's get the bubbles going. Here's Mike McDaniel, Mr. Chill Dude, talking about Tua playing at a very high level of football right now.
First of all, Tua's playing very, very high level football.
He's not the only thing that's high.
It's phenomenal to watch
him commit
to the process. It's the third game in a row where I didn't feel a high or a low from him. He was just trying to execute each and every play, but it was rewarding and exciting because you know you can ask Tyreek and Waddle themselves. Like we have it's about a team, and all of their production has to do with a team working in concert so that they can get those numbers. And you know you play a defense that is bound and determined to make sure that those two individuals don't get as many targets. That leaves opportunities for everybody else.
What are his halftime speeches like in the locker room? Well, dudes, I see a lot of colors out
there.
Well,
they're up by 10.5, so it's not really
pretty good, actually.
Defensively, you know, they did well with Chubb and Wilkins. They had a couple sacks in the first half. And Miami did a great job on held the Browns to their worst running game all year.
They're the Browns. That's what they do.
But they've been running the ball.
Browns would wipe the floor with the Lions.
That's so not true.
They play?
I don't think in the Super Bowl. All right, here's Tua.
Wait. You just said the Browns stink. Followed it up.
Wild card.
Followed it up 8 seconds later by saying they're going to play the Lions in the Super Bowl.
You can't trap me.
You are. You are.
Stick and move.
The only thing, Chris, I'll say to you is the Patriots won by 23. You only won by 22.
That means a lot
to
me.
Okay. I hear you on that.
I'm kidding.
With two missed extra points and a missed field goal.
Yes.
The weakness on the Dolphins right now, Jason Sanders, the kicker.
Yep.
Maybe we could bring in that Blankenship fella.
Oh, man. Clark Kent.
Bring somebody in. Yeah. By the way, first time since 2001, the Dolphins are 7-3.
Yeah.
They have had 24 starting quarterbacks since 2001.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, really.
20?
You think about it.
Four.
So have the Browns.
It's unbelievable.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
They both have.
Unreal.
Speaking of quarterbacks, here's Tua. They were chanting MVP, even though they wanted him cut and traded the whole fan base.
Just
like
stop
a year
with
ago.
The commentary.
That's just not hypocritical. In the script. It's hypocritical. Go ahead, play Tua.
Yeah, there's no doubt I heard that. I mean, could hear that when it was a TV timeout, you know, when we were walking back into the tunnel. You know, it's flattering, but it, you know, what we came to do and what we came to accomplish, it's not accomplished yet. So it'd be cool, but you know, we have bigger goals and aspirations on what we want to do as a team.
Look, Tua yesterday became the first player in Miami history to record three straight games with three passing touchdowns and no picks. History, Craig. Marked the fourth game this year with three passing touchdowns while completing 70% of his passes. Ties Danny Boy. Marino in 1984 for the most such games in a single season in franchise history.
Tom Brady never did that.
Well, I'm sure he did.
Tua greater than... Brady.
This is about Miami's history.
You just can't have a regular conversation.
It's just about Miami. Why do you have to bring the Patriots in? Patriots got nothing to do with the tour.
You can't have
right
a regular
now.
Conversation. Everything's got to be over the top hyperbole with you. It is unbelievable.
Oh, I'm hyperbole.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
You got nowhere else to go in the NFL because your team, you know, has a little nice little win over the Bears and the Packers, which we grant you.
They're good wins.
They're good wins. Well, that's why the league is so hard to win. How can you factor in the Lions last week with the 46 zone reinvented against the Packers who couldn't do diddly-poo? Mm-hmm. And then you see the game the Packers played yesterday, you know, with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You cannot really try to figure this league out because you can have hyperbole for everybody if you want. But facts are facts. And that is a fact about Tua and making franchise – not Patriots history, Craig. Dolphin history. But what he did.
It is such a relief to have a team that is enjoyable to watch. It's such a weird feeling for me to sit down on Sunday afternoon and enjoy watching an NFL game.
I can't relate.
I never had this feeling in my life.
It's fun.
Where you just watch the game and you don't freak out when you go down by 7. Or you just know, like, okay, we haven't had the ball yet. We're going to get it going.
Yeah.
This is a weird experience. I know it's a weird experience for me. I think most Dolphins fans, we had that. It was a small 20-year gap, but we had a 20-year gap where it was incompetency. It's so refreshing. And if you other fan bases can't be happy for Dolphins fans that we finally have something to root for, that speaks on you and your miserable nature, not on ours for being excited about our football team. Dolphins fans, stand up this year. Throw the flags on the truck. Put the bumper sticker on the back of the car. Put the window sticker on. Wear your jersey to work on Fridays and bask in it because this is a damn good football team. It is great.
Hallelujah.
Take that!
Somebody texted in about, did Pat White ever start? No.
Pat White started.
Pat White did
you
start.
Sure Pat
did.
White started.
Yeah. That was a disaster. Mr. Wildcat, right?
No.
Well, until Ronnie Clark almost killed him.
Ronnie Brown was the running back that... For that
that's
one game.
All right. Enough of the Dolphins. On to...
No, not enough of the Dolphins. In fact... Tua is a MVP candidate. Candidate. He is not the MVP favorite right now. That would be Mr. Mahomes in Kansas City and what he's doing this year.
Justin Jefferson.
MVP?
Can you?
Do you know who wins MVP? This is a serious conversation because I feel like you're just trying to poke
and prod. Hottest team in the league right now. The guy
who's
catches 200 yards a game.
Who's leading the league in receiving yards right now, Craig?
He's doing things that Jerry Rice can't do.
Who's leading the league in receiving yards right now, Craig? Is it Justin Jefferson or is it one of Tua Tagovailoa's wide receivers? Answer the question.
Don't wait for the translation. Answer the question now.
You do this to me. You do it to me. And you know what you're doing. And I take the bait every time. Every time.
Let's move on to the Raiders. That dumpster fire. Derek Carr doing everything he can. Putting up numbers. Still losing.
now even to Jeff Saturday and the Indianapolis Colts. And he was asked if there's a yes, Pete. Go
ahead. Did you see this stuff? Did you see this clip live?
Yes.
I thought he was going to collapse.
He got very emotional. Asked if there's a disconnect with the coaches and discusses the things that players go through. I'm the quarterback.
Derek, I'm going to ask this with the utmost respect. Last year, with what you did with this team, with everything you guys went through, you endured and got to the playoffs. This year, it just seems there's frustration at times, obviously, after these losses. Is there, in any way, a disconnect with what you're trying to do and this new staff as far as the system?
I don't think so. I love Josh. I love the car. I love our coaches. They've had nothing but success, you know, way more success than I've ever had, you know. And, you know, I'm sorry.
Derek, continue.
To finish that, sorry for being emotional. I'm just pissed off about some of the things, you know, that a lot of us try and do just to practice what we put our bodies through just to sleep at night. And for that to be the result of all that effort pisses me off. Pisses a lot of guys off. It's hard knowing what some guys are doing. Like I said, just to practice what they're putting in their body just to sleep at night. Like, just so we could be there for each other. And I wish everybody in that room felt the same way about this place. Ooh. And as a leader, that pisses me off.
Ooh.
If I'm being honest.
Adam said the same thing. He says not everybody's buying into this.
Well, look, it's not like...
He's going to be a Colt next year.
They had the lead. And with the big play of the game, besides the scramble of, 39 yards by Matt Ryan, one.
Yeah.
But he also...
Matt Ryan had a 39-yard scramble?
That's the headline.
I missed that. Didn't show up on my radar. Yeah. That's breaking news right there.
38 yards. Actually, no, 39. He actually rushed 4 for 38, but that's because sacks were there. But he had 1 for 39. But he also... There was a 3rd and 3 late in the game when the Raiders were leading 20-19. It was 3rd and 3 in the fourth. Ryan drops back to pass. Raiders covered his options to the left where the Colts receivers ran all the routes. And then he saw the right side wide open and took off and made it to the Vegas 36-yard line. That is unbelievable.
That's almost half the football field. Matt Ryan. Matt bleeping Ryan. All right, you heard how down Derek Carr was? Even Steven, when one guy's down, another guy's up. Here's Jeff Saturday and his emotions for his coaching debut. It was a magical experience.
Talked to my son and my wife and then had a lot of text of just encouragement, prayer, you know, thoughts, all those things. And so grateful for that. All the boys sending, you know, text chains and, you know, go get it. And Edge sent me a text and he's I'm here. And it was just, you know, it was magical in all honesty. In truth, I felt very at peace. I felt like we had a really good plan in place. I felt like all the men who I had talked about empowering and giving them ability to do what they can do exceptionally well, they all stepped up. And so I knew what my role was, and I was going to execute my role to the best of my ability, and I was going to allow all of those men to do the same. And they stepped up, man, and it's an incredible day. And, again, it's one win, but, heck, man, they're hard to get in this NFL. So just really proud of each and every one of them and their effort.
Winning percentage 1,000.
They host Philadelphia next week.
Oh. And the Colts are only a game below 500 again.
So you said after the Derek Carr cut, he'll be in Indy next year.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think he will be.
Uh-huh.
I actually think you should watch what you say about Derek Carr.
What do you mean?
I think Derek Carr in Detroit makes an awful lot of sense. I think that they're going to get too many wins to take one of the top guys in the draft. You bring him in, the Raiders are going to have to tear that thing down or at least go get one of the young quarterbacks to see if they could salvage Josh McDaniels or maybe they even want to move on from him. I think him to Detroit makes an awful lot of sense.
I don't think they'll spend the money on another veteran. I mean, to go from Stafford to Goff and then bring in another guy that's making $30 million a year doesn't make any sense. They got to start over with a young quarterback.
But if you're drafting in a position where you can't get the young guy,
exactly.
Like, I obviously you want the young guy on the cheaper salary.
Yeah.
You can't have your cake and eat it too. So if you want the wins this year down the stretch, that's great. You're going to have to pay the price at some point, and that price might be bringing in a veteran not named Jared Goff.
I'll file that one away. Interesting fodder.
I think another interesting fodder from this particular game, and this is where I wasn't sure. We talked about clock management last week and getting it together. You got to give the Colts and Jeff Saturday credit, at least for this week. Penalties.
Oh, yeah.
Only 4 for 25 yards. I was worried about
that. Well coached.
I was concerned about that. Raiders, 10 penalties, only 74 yards, but still 10 penalties.
Not well coached.
So more than 2-1 in penalties, Raiders, not a stat you want to be leading in.
Yeah. All right, I still have more on this game. We got Bill Cowher being all indignant. We'll play that, and we'll dive into the Packers and the Cowboys, among other things. 4 o'clock, we'll switch gears. We'll get into the college football weekend and Pete Shepard's real top 25 college football poll. It's on our website, ESPNSWFL.com. Don't forget, there are still spots open for Friday's Naples Wealth Planning Southwest Florida Benefit Golf Tournament at Stony Brook Golf Club at Estero. Sign your team up now at ESPNSWFL.com. Deadline is Wednesday at 6. You'll get a golf tournament shirt, lunch from Duffy's after the round. We'll do our show out there. 100% of the proceeds stay in Southwest Florida to help with the recovery process. The Naples Wealth Planning Southwest Florida Benefit Golf Tournament is brought to you in part by Gavin's Ace Hardware, Lightning Realty, Triton Staffing Group, Estero Bay Chevrolet, and Stretch Lab. Shemina Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman and Shepard, ESPN Southwest Florida. Talking NFL, what else? I see Jimmy the Beef Guy is on hold. Big Norm already got me into a Jimmy the Beef Guy sandwich bet for his Giants and my Lions this weekend. But remember, Jimmy the Beef Guy is a Packers fan.
What's the new nickname?
He's a sandwich bookie.
And he's on the phone right now. Jimmy, what's going on?
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the phone.
You bet. What you up to?
Thanks for having a call.
Sure.
Yeah.
So how about them Packers this weekend?
Oh, I tried to tell you guys. It wasn't just a trap bet. They have Dallas's number, man. Dak Prescott is like, I think they had a stat. He's like 1-9 versus top quarterbacks, Rodgers, Mahomes, yep. Drew Brees, and someone else.
Yeah.
But, I had a good feeling, man.
Well, your feeling was correct, but remember the Packers teams that have had Dallas number in the past were not like this, and had Devontae Adams and some. But and especially after the way the Lions came up with some, I don't know what sort of defense that was, but it had Aaron Rodgers and them confused. But a big reason why they won, you know why? They finally committed to the run.
Yeah.
They ran the ball 39 times. Aaron only had to throw the ball 20 times. They ran the ball 39 times.
I tell you what, these stats come up. Aaron Jones, if he touches the ball 20 or 22 times, their record is like 38-3. I mean, it's just a really outstanding number. So they got to stick with that.
Yeah, they do.
Did you guys see the stat yesterday in the Dallas? While Green Bay was playing, the Dallas Cowboys are 195-0 when leading in the third quarter.
Yeah,
it was like the kiss of death.
Fourth quarter, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, fourth quarter. Yeah, it was the biggest. They've never lost a game like that before in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, I thought that was a kiss of death right there. That was great.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you made history.
Guys, take it easy on Chris. You got him all fired up. I'm like laughing so hard driving, listening to Chris get all fired up, man. You guys are getting
He's just mad at Craig.
It's Craig. He does it to me.
I know how to pull both of these guys' strings.
Craig's doing a good job.
Thank you.
All right, bud.
All right, Jimmy, drive safe, man.
Keep up the good work, and hopefully everybody's going to collab. I mean, there's a lot of people that owe you sandwiches this week. A lot of people went against you.
Good stuff.
All right.
Good stuff. All right, boys.
Take care.
Jimmy the Beef Guy, everybody. Catch him out on Bonita Beach Road. Fantastic. Get yourself a sandwich. And that's where our sandwich bets go to be paid.
Who said somebody play the clip of Chris disowning Tua?
Oh, I didn't disown Tua.
Thousands of
if
cuts.
We can go back to the clip, I said for the first time, this was after... What was this? This was after the Patriots game. So it was after week one.
I'll wait.
I said... For the first time since Tua showed up in Miami, I am like less than 50-50 that he's actually the answer. That's what I said. And then you know what he did? He went out and came back from 21 down against the Ravens the following week and put up a great second half performance, and he made me eat my words. I was wrong about him after week one. I've changed my tune. You guys do this. You people. You do this where you take something I say and you don't allow me to ever pivot out of a take. We say a lot of
nobody does in this
we
business.
We say a lot of dumb stuff on this program. Guess what? We're wrong a lot,
and we're right. But we're never allowed. You're never allowed in this business to change your mind or have a differing opinion because
now
you're either a homer or it's hyperbole.
Yeah, but he was talking about this year
or whatever.
Can we go back to last year, Pete, when he wanted him traded? He wanted Lamar Jackson. He wanted Tua out of there. Who was the other quarterback?
Deshaun Watson.
That's Tom Brady. Who hasn't been on the field yet?
But it is amazing.
Tom Brady is right.
How when new data is given to you, you can't change your opinion on something.
You should be able to.
I think you should be loyal.
The fact was, well, that's dumb. Loyalty is dumb. It doesn't get you as far as you can go in life. You know what gets you as far as you can go in life? Making the best possible decision at that moment. That's what gives you the best goal on it. You took Joey Harrington, number two overall in an NFL draft.
Bad move.
Did you say that the day after the draft?
Yeah, I didn't like
no,
this game.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Oh, you loved,
you loved the
you
pick.
You didn't know me back
and
then.
The Lions hated finally it. Changed the trajectory of the franchise. Guess what?
You did.
You were wrong. You were wrong. New data was given to you, and you were allowed to change your opinion.
He was a far better piano player than he was a. He's a better pianist than he is a quarterback.
He's a great pianist.
He's a great pianist. By the way, Michael Penix Jr. another 400 yards this weekend. We'll get to that later.
You know what? But, and again, I changed my tune on Bo Nix last week. Turns out I was right, and I shouldn't have changed my tone on Bo Nix.
I remember a couple years ago, Frank Ragnow, you know, the center from Arkansas. What did Craig say? Who is this guy? I said, you're going to love him.
He's a third-round grade. You should have never gone up. And guess what? He's a pillar of the offensive line in Detroit moving forward.
I will tell you, of all the moves Matt Patricia made in Detroit, that's the only one he got right.
He's a five-year – he's been in the league. This was our first year. This is 5 years.
Oh, he's a pro bowler. He's good.
He's excellent.
I got no problem.
He's one of the best centers in the game.
One thing that the rocket scientist Matt Patricia did.
Jeff. And I tried to tell you that, you know, you build in the trenches. You build from the inside out.
Everything else he did was wrong. All right, I got some more sound we got to knock off. In honor of Jimmy the Beef Guy here, here's Aaron Rodgers talking about Christian Watson.
Well, he had a lot of plays designed for him, so I don't think there was any other option. I think that catch probably, on the atomic level, shifted a lot of different things. For him, exercising some energetic demons. Proud of him. He has a good skill set. Obviously, he's really, really fast. Got to get him to catch a ball a little more consistently, but not much negative you can say after his performance tonight.
That was
I think I brought
stuff.
Him up.
You just said something negative about him, Aaron. Yeah.
I think I brought his name up before the draft or when they drafted him. Remember when I said, watch this kid. He's from North Dakota State. He's from Tampa, by the way.
And, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's from Tampa. That he was going to be a possible steal for receiver. I think he's going to blossom. I think he's got the potential to be excellent.
Guys can improve. There's a theme here.
Imagine
go back
that.
To week one. He drops a perfectly placed 45-yard dime from Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. Would have changed the game.
Oh, completely. Probably would have changed the first 2 months of the season for Green Bay.
Yep.
He gets better coming from North Dakota State, adapting to the speed of the NFL. What does he do yesterday? Wins him the football game.
Oh, I forgot. I went out of order.
You didn't have to play it. It's fine.
Got touchdowns yesterday, 58, 39, and 7 yards. That's a great game.
Here's Dak Prescott on the other side, says, we will grow from this one.
I mean, he was just disappointed we didn't take that step that we've talked about, right? Laying another brick and just building on what we've built on, or building on what we've accomplished up to this point. Yeah, and it's tough. I mean, it was a playoff environment. You want to go out there and you want to win. And all of them hurt when you don't win and you don't capitalize or do what you expect to do. So I mean, but you got to remember it's one game. So for us, it's about just sticking together, knowing what we've accomplished and where we're going and who we are. So it was a tough game, tough environment. We'll learn from this one and. We've got to use it to make sure that we grow.
It is, and Jimmy brought it up, and it's a stat that they brought up. He is, Dak Prescott, though, is 1-9 against good quarterbacks, the top 4 or 5. He does not have a great record. Now, they got the Vikings this week, and obviously you can say what you want about Cousins. He is what he is, and he's not in the tier of the guys I just mentioned.
Is that game on primetime?
No, it's on 425 in the
afternoon. Kirk Cousins is going to be great.
And Minnesota.
Just fine.
Yeah, and they will be fine. They're 1-point underdogs at home.
All right, I want to play this last cut here. This is Bill Cowher, in case you missed it on CBS yesterday.
It's a bit longer, just so you know.
You want to do it when we come back?
I think that makes more sense.
Good programming there, Chris. Wow. Good job. Let's do that. We'll hear from Bill Cowher. I'll have my thoughts as well. These guys will. Coming up in an hour, your chance to go head-to-head with Pete Shepard and Wikipedia. Win some free subs for you and a friend at Firehouse Subs.
Sweet.
No, I changed that.
I'm reading word for word.
Oh, good God.
Hold on. I changed it. I know I changed it. No, I guess I didn't. Did I change it next hour?
I got my copy here. Let's see.
I changed it next hour.
Biggie's Place.
Oh, Biggie's Place.
Next hour is Biggie, right? But the preview says Firehouse.
It does. See, I'm not double teaming you, Craig. I'm backing you up.
Chris is having an off day. I am not having an off day.
Omaha!
I'm on point.
As Peyton would say, Omaha.
Kill!
You know what?
All right, so which is it, Chris?
It's Firehouse.
What?
I can only go off of what the system tells me, Craig. Normally we alternate
weeks. What system?
Apparently.
I told you about systems. They suck.
This system.
What system is
that's
that?
That's his laptop.
You can't get the on-air mic light on.
Creative.
The on-air mic in the studio is on. There's no cough button. And you're talking about systems.
This is a system.
Good God.
It's Firehouse Subs.
The hell's going on in here?
It's Firehouse Subs.
It is Firehouse.
You sure?
Yeah. Free subs for you and a friend. So I was right
challenge.
When you said I was wrong. Craig, I got something to talk to you about on the rundown for next hour, just so you know.
All right. Do your balls hurt? Because I'm busting them all day today.
Wow!
Whoa! Sheeman and Shepherd.
How many hour fathers is that going to cost you this week?
ESPN Southwest Florida. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. Hopeful Bucks guy texting in. Lions win 2 games and all of a sudden Craig is just outrageous. Yeah, that's there's some there.
Not even a Lions fan anymore.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you said.
You also need to have a sandwich bet with young Sean, Officer Sean.
Well, I already got one with Big Norm.
Oh, you need to have two.
One per game. I mean, seriously. No. All right. And by the way, we did hear from Jimmy the Beef Guy last segment. All right. One last guy. This is Bill Cowher, CBS show. He is indignant that the Colts would hire Jeff Saturday with no coaching experience. I would remind you that CBS hired Bill Cowher without any TV experience. So let's not be too hypocritical. I don't criticize him for his opinion. A lot of people had it. But I think this is fake outrage for TV. Kind of Stephen A. Smith-ish, if you will. Here's Bill Cowher. You judge for yourself on CBS.
You know, guys, I played in National Football League for 5 years. I went on to become an assistant coach right from playing to coach, and I was assistant coach for 7 years. Hmm. Blessed to be able to go to Pittsburgh and be a head coach at the age of 34 for 15 years. I'm speaking on behalf of the coaching profession. I know for a fact that Jeff Saturday was offered an opportunity to become an assistant coach with the Indianapolis Colts multiple times in the last 4 years. He declined, citing that he had a TV job and wanted to spend more time with his family. Mm-hmm. I get it.
That's fair.
I get it. Coaching is about commitment and it's about sacrifice. It's not just a job. It's a lifestyle. That being said, Jeff Saturday has taken a position this year as a consultant for the Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. And he's talked to them weekly from his home in Atlanta.
Wow.
Now to find out on Monday, in that short period of time, he's now the head coach of the new Indianapolis Colts, overseeing a staff that he chose not to choose.
Not to join.
Because of a lifestyle. Jeff Saturday talked about in his first press conference the fact that he's going to use his second half as an opportunity to build his resume, to see whether or not he can coach in the future. Mm. I say to that, what about the assistants on the staff right now? The guys that were there in training camp, the guys that were there early in the morning and late at night, the guys that have gone through the first 6 weeks in that building, guys like Gus Bradley, Scotty Montgomery, John Fox, don't they deserve the opportunity for an owner to hire a coach who's never been an assistant at the college level or the pro level and overseeing a very much a lot of candidates that are qualified for that job, as we see in Steve Wilks, an opportunity to build a resume? It's a disgrace to the coaching profession. Mm. And regardless how this thing plays out, what happened in Indianapolis is a travesty.
Mm. I agree with what you're saying, Craig. I also agree with Kyle, what he's saying, and I completely get it. And you watch, if they go into Philadelphia this week and get blasted, watch the narrative change.
But a lot of people get blasted by Philadelphia.
But you know how it works. It'll be the Raiders. The Raiders stank, and he got lucky. It would have been interesting if his first game was against in Philadelphia. Sure. That would have been something.
I mean, I largely agreed. I was saying a lot of what Cowher was saying last week.
I don't have a problem with his opinion. I said a lot of us said that. I just thought he piled it on here, being a little hypocritical. I mean, just look in the mirror, Bill Cowher. Why did he have to start with the first 15 seconds of that statement by reminding of us of his resume?
It gives him clout.
Everybody knows who Bill Cowher is. He doesn't need to say what his resume
really
is.
Really, Craig? The 16-year-old sitting on his couch watching pregame knows who Bill Cowher is?
16-year-olds aren't watching NFL pregames. Okay, they're on their phones.
The 20-year-old sitting on his couch.
They should.
You should know who Bill Cowher is. That's awesome.
But I would make the cut like you said. I would have gone in and go, well, there's a lot of even dare say ex-athletes, ex-coaches who actually started at lesser roles in broadcasting and worked their way up, as opposed to just giving and handed a job right out of the gate.
Tom Brady's never broadcast a game in his life. He's going to walk right into the booth.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, seriously.
I know. I hear you. For that kind of money, I know.
And you say he didn't have any experience. I think being a Super Bowl winning head coach gives you the experience to sit on a set and talk X's and O's.
I think Joe Montana
was horrible on TV.
I said it gives you the experience. It doesn't mean you're going to be good at it, but it gives you the gravitas to be able to talk to at least know what you're talking about.
I think he is good when he's not, unless he's talking about the Steelers, and I tune it out.
Jeff Saturday, higher winning percentage than Bill Cowher. Back. Somebody tell me I'm wrong.
Higher than anybody.
Well, he's the greatest coach in NFL history by that standard.
All right. Coming up, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk college football and Pete Shepard's real top 25 college football poll.
And no, I did not put the Hurricanes in, even though they played one of the best games of the year.
Against Georgia Tech.
I know, but
there was nobody there.
I can't be fussy. There were more people there than been in Miami. I'm just looking at consistency.
There are no Middle Tennessee State, but
I had the best. I met this kid from Iowa, right? He sat next to me when I was on these, and he goes, he's watching the Hawkeyes struggle a little bit. They ended up winning the game. He looks up at the score of Miami and up 35-14. He goes, God, I wish my team could put up 35 points. I go, have you watched my team play all year? Now, I know you've had some ugly squeakers with Iowa and the lack of points and two safeties. I go, but that what's happening here is I haven't seen this all year. So,
all right, you can win $15,000 this month. It's a Sheeman and Shepherd holiday stimulus. Go to our website, ESPNSWFL.com. Log on, register. You could be a winner. Sheeman and Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.